It's very in the vanguard, I think, of what we're going to see happening in the future, because it makes a lot of sense. Public radio wants to develop more journalism abilities. We have independent news startups that are doing enterprise stories, like The Beacon, and they need to have those stories amplified. And when you get both of them working together, you get an absolute win-win.
You know, I don't think anybody in journalism is going to argue with the wisdom of this and with the expertise that is brought together by this merger. But I wonder how much of a public appetite there is out there for, quote, meaningful content that the folks here want to provide.
Maybe the better question and the opportunity for these two organizations is, what is the appetite for meaningful engagement? Because the mission, as stated by the merged organization, really is looking to help St. Louis realize its potential as it reinvents itself as a biotech center, as a new kind of place. And I think that not only are they on the vanguard of public broadcasting merging with independent news startups, I think they are also in the vanguard of reimagining journalism that is not just a commodity, but it's a catalyst for the community as well, to help good things happen, to look at solutions to problems, to create a menu of options around ideas. And I think that's very much in the portfolio of what they want to do.
What specifically will you be looking for as you watch this thing unfold?
Well, you want to see what kind of journalism they're going to produce, specifically for public radio, how it expands radio's repertoire of digital storytelling models, and as the Beacon's component, how it will define news, maybe not in a classic conflict way, but in a capacity-building way for the community. So you're going to look at how journalism is going to change. You're also, I think, going to look at the sustainability of the two entities. You will have a sizable merged newsroom created out of this, probably 36 or more reporters and journalists. That's huge. And you can do a lot of good news and information with that size of a staff. So you want to, you're going to be looking for what's the value-added proposition. What are they going to bring to the community, and how are they going to prompt the community to support this through donations, through events, through subscription models, sponsorships, perhaps training, all of the micro streams of revenue that are so important now to media outlets today.
We, of course, are bringing two separate cultures together. Journalism, yes, but two different approaches to it. I mean, on the one hand, you have radio people who are used to doing radio and sound, and on the other hand, you've got print people. Does this represent any kind of a concern, do you think, bringing these two cultures together?
Well, it could certainly implode, but I think a lot of independent news startups around the country are very interested in how do you make a good radio story? How do you get your ambient sound? How do you do your music or whatever? I mean, how do you make that happen? Because that's not really in their toolkit right now. So they're open to learning that. I think for public radio, they can get a lot of value added with building a bigger local news portfolio and not just running, you know, the very good but syndicated national programming that is available to them. So I think there's an opportunity to benefit both parties that might help in the merger. And frankly, I will unabashedly say that if you look at the two mergers that have happened this year in the United States, one is St. Louis, the other is in Rocky Mountain PBS with the iNews source, both of the independent news startups are run by women. And I think they have a very collaborative outlook on things, and I think that's going to make a big difference here.
How is the other operation working?
Great. I mean, they've totally subsumed iNews Network into the Rocky Mountain PBS operations. And Rocky Mountain PBS never had a newsroom before. Hmm. So, I mean, they are the newsroom now for Rocky Mountain PBS. So it's not so much a culture clash. It's just being willing to, as a founder of an independent news startup, being willing to let go to build something for the greater good.
Your world encompasses many aspects, but it's a digital world, and ours is a digital world as well. Where is this going, do you think? I mean, it's moving so quickly. It's become so important. What do you see ahead?
Well, media entrepreneurship is at an all-time high. As much as we want to do a lot of hand-wringing about, the downsizing of legacy news outlets, the fact of the matter is that there are jobs to be done in the news and information space. They may be jobs in news, they may be jobs in classified advertising, but, there are jobs in video. There are jobs to be done, and there are news entrepreneurs who are figuring out ways to do them. So I think what we are going to see are a lot more collaborations and combinations and outright mergers of mainstream media outlets, public media outlets, with entrepreneurial ventures that are they're doing a good job in their community. And you're going to get, I think, a media ecosystem that is made up of smaller and smaller pieces making for bigger and bigger menu of news and information opportunities for audiences.
You know, there is an educational component of this agreement here in St. Louis.
Yes.
And, I'm wondering, and I'm sure you've given some thought to this, about teaching young people, young aspiring journalists today. How do you go about that when we don't know what the landscape is going to be like a year from now, much less 5 years from now, and a lot of these young people will be graduating? How do you teach them?
Well, I think you teach them core values. I think you teach them where they find data and information. I think you teach them how public life and civic life works and how they cover that. And I think you, personally, I think you need to reimagine journalism schools as not just producing workers for newsrooms, but you need to reimagine journalism schools as a gateway education, a gateway that may take you into the journalism business, but it may take you into the nonprofit business. It may be a gateway to law school. It may be a gateway to the diplomatic corps. It may be a gateway to the business world. We don't know, but the kinds of things that a journalism education can provide are core skills that will allow incoming freshmen to have the seven different careers that college admissions counselors now say they will need to prepare for in their futures.
That's right. It's no longer a question of having six or seven different jobs and a single type of career. It's now six or seven careers, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, you may be interested in knowing that in the curriculum at the University of Missouri, one of the things they're teaching now in the journalism school is how to use drones.
Oh, yes. I mean, drones to cover the football games, drones to cover the algae blooms on the Great Lakes. I mean, drones are going to be, I mean, if the FAA allows, a very important piece of journalism. And drones to deliver Amazon packages, too, I guess.
Well, yeah, unless you live on the fourth floor of a high-rise, that might be a little bit difficult. Jan, the hope is that this could become a national model, what's going on here in St. Louis and the other place that you've mentioned out there in Colorado. What are the prospects of that, do you think?
The prospects are very fortuitous. I think that you've got two good organizations. They want to do well because a lot of eyes are on them. You've got a large-scale donor commitment because this makes sense to the donors and the community. I think that it's now a matter of delivering on the promise and delivering the kinds of journalism and engagement that will make the combined entity something people can't live without.
You know, there are some skeptics who have surfaced, needless to say. And among those voicing concerns is someone here in St. Louis who is saying, you know, we really don't like the idea of taxpayer money being used to help fund something like The Beacon. Of course, they're talking about the dollars that come through the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Is that an issue you think should be of concern?
Well, I think all public broadcasters these days are planning for a future in which there will be fewer and fewer taxpayer dollars at their disposal. So I think that if anything, this particular merger is one way to kind of breach that transition and help build a bigger donor base with more enterprise stories, more engagement opportunities, more value added to the community, so that you can actually get what you need locally and not nationally.